Good morning, Northern Michigan. Welcome to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne is in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And, guys, an enormous sports landscape last night, but with Gabe in the building, there's nothing to do but talk about hockey. But first of all, we were just talking off air, and, you know, Keith, you and I are very friendly with Paul Woods, mm-hmm. just a great guy. Mm-hmm. And he was part of a really cool opening game ceremony at the, what do you call it, the Pizzarina?
The Pizzarina, yeah. They brought the captains, they actually started a video with Ted Lindsay, who we lost, not long ago.
Right.
The great captain from the 50s. But, you know, guys like Nick Libet and Alex DelVecchio, Paul Woods, a former captain.
Right.
All these guys, it was a ceremony to honor Dylan Larkin as the new captain, a ceremony that should have taken place last year, but because of COVID, nobody in the building, they postponed it till this year. And I think the coolest moment, Rich and I were talking about it, when they introduced two guys from Sweden just prior to Dylan Larkin, Nick Lidstrom and Henrik Zetterberg. Wow, pretty cool, wasn't it?
Very cool, because that was a surprise, you know, two surprise guests, and
yep.
they did a good job in hiding them. And you could tell by the reaction on Dylan Larkin's face. He's getting ready for a game, and he's just got this shocked look on his face.
Two former
teams. They didn't tell Larkin that this was happening.
Oh, I think they told
the ceremony.
Larkin. I think they knew that he knew that there was going to be a ceremony. I didn't think he knew that Lidstrom and Zetterberg were going to show up. And Zetterberg, you know, those two are close. He learned a lot.
Sure.
Zetterberg was his mentor.
Right.
You know, when it came to leadership in the room. And you could tell they have a very, very close
relationship. He gave him a big hug when he went and shook all the hands of the prior captains.
Right.
But he gave Zetterberg a huge hug. And,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Very cool stuff.
It was.
And then as we were getting out in the green room, I guess vaccinations and hockey ability don't necessarily go hand in hand.
Tyler Bertuzzi
had something to prove last night.
He did, and you know he had to. I think he won some people over.
Yeah.
You know, because when it was announced that he had decided not to get the vaccinated, I know the Twitter sphere, even the hardcore Wings fans, were not thrilled with that decision. I think a lot of people kind of shelved that thought for now. Four goals last night. Terrific game for him. The Red Wings probably should have won. They were up 3-0, 6-3, and wound up losing 7-6 in overtime to the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs, and they showed why.
They did last night. I mean, Tampa just absolutely, when they wanted to, they turned it on, Keith.
They imposed their will.
They did. It's almost like they were toying with the Wings at times.
Well, we've seen this over the decades. Keith and I have talked about this, and I'll never forget the first time the Wings had a really good hockey team. And they played in the playoffs against Edmonton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And the only time the Wings could even mount any type of attack on offensively is when they had a power play.
That's right.
I mean, they're just boys against men, and there's mm-hmm. a reason why that most people are predicting that the Tampa Bay Lightning will win a third straight. How long will it be, Keith, since a team has won three Stanley Cups?
All the way back to the Islanders.
Yeah.
The Islanders. They never won three straight. They won two, missed one, won two again, missed it, and then won again. They won five in 7 years.
Okay.
But the Islanders won four straight from 80 to 83.
I thought Edmonton had won four in a row.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm glad you mentioned Edmonton, JC, because last night's game, the way Tampa approached that game when mm-hmm. it was 6-3 reminded me of those old Edmonton teams. And I remember talking to Paul Coffey when he came to Detroit, and we were talking about those old Edmonton days. He said, yeah, we used to toy with teams. You know, we'd be down, you know, 5-2, 6-3, whatever, and we just looked down the bench. I looked down the bench as Gretzky, Messier, Curry, Anderson, you know, all these Hall of Fame guys,
right.
And say, are you ready to go, guys? Let's go. Let's go have some fun. Boom, boom, boom. And they'd win these games. And that's what Tampa was able to do last night. It shouldn't have happened, though. You notice, I thought Tampa played a really dirty game last night.
Very
dirty. There
were
some serious checks.
Do they play dirty, or are they allowed to play with a different set of rules as champions? Look, this has been going on in sports forever.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan could not commit a foul. I mean, I learned the hard way. you know, Magic Johnson played the whole second half of our game with four fouls. He must have committed another six fouls. There's no way they were going to foul him out.
No,
of that
you're right. But, you know, that check from behind was on Dylan Larkin by a kid named Joseph is exactly the kind of play they say they want to get out of hockey. His head's down. He's trying to play the puck. He's near the boards. He gets checked in the neck. This guy spent half the summer in a neck brace, for God's sakes.
Does Joseph
He's
know that?
Captain of their team.
He didn't know if he was going to recover. He had numbness in his legs for a long time.
That's right. That's right. Here's my problem last night. These pacifist Greenpeace coaches make me sick. And Jeff Blashill, you've heard me defend this guy ad nauseum on the show to the point that it pisses fans off that I do that. But and Babcock was the same way. You got a guy like Jovani Smith on your team, right?
Yeah.
One of the biggest reasons you got him, he's big, he's strong. When he was on the ice last night, the rest of the Tampa Lightning, they were rubbernecking all over the ice.
They
want nothing to do with this guy. He played 5 minutes and 34 seconds last night.
Yeah.
That's all. When they start taking liberties with your best players, that guy's got to play more.
Yes.
You got to intimidate them, especially when it was 6-3. It was 6-3, and I said, you know what? I'm still uncomfortable.
Yes.
If they score again, the Wings aren't going to win this game, and that's what happened. I think when it's 6-4, you put Jovani Smith on the ice every three shifts.
Yes.
And he didn't do that. They wound up losing the game. It was maddening.
I like that philosophy, Keith.
Well, they made a lot of stupid defensive plays in the
third
period.
Oh, no question.
I mean,
yeah.
I think you don't want to say choked, but the Dispensely defensive core played not to lose, and you can't play.
So that's right.
You can't play against a team like that.
And then the overtime, when you get to start the overtime, I think I texted you, Rich,
right.
And said, this is going to be ugly.
Yeah.
And, you know, 2 minutes and 43 seconds of overtime, and the Wings never touched the puck.
That's just, it,
well, that
it shows
goes
you.
To show you just how far the Wings
that's
are
correct.
From, you know.
That's right.
I know that I was listening to you and J-Bo botch up our sports report. It's an inside joke between J-Bo and myself. But, you know, you mentioned that right now, as the season starts, most prognosticators have the Wings as one of the four
worst
teams.
Yeah.
But you think that they'll finish much higher than that.
And they showed me last night that they can. They played toe-to-toe with the best team in hockey last night for 60 minutes.
Man, I like the Raymond kid. His passing ability, he sees the ice really well, doesn't he?
He got his first assist last night. The big defenseman, Moritz Seider, got two assists last night. He started the game kind of rough last night.
Yeah.
He caught the puck up a couple of times. But as the game progressed, he got better and better and better, more comfortable. I like these kids.
I do,
Two kids that are the future of this franchise. You know, last night you looked at the final scores of around the league. The Seattle Kraken won its first game last night at Nashville. The dregs of the NHL. Columbus wins 8-2 over Arizona. Buffalo 5-1 over Montreal. Ottawa 3-2 over Toronto. And I'm thinking, hey, the Wings are going to join the dregs and all, you know, win a game here. And the Wings didn't get theirs. They got the point.
They
and,
did.
You know, it's on to Saturday night when Vancouver visits Little Caesars.
Well, we are off and running for a hockey season. Keith couldn't be more excited. What time is it? Oh, we've got a few minutes. I don't want to jump to... it was a busy night for television,
sports on television
last night as Tom Brady and whatever team he plays for and whoever he plays against... I mean, that guy is becoming bigger than the sport itself, Rich. He really is.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, you know, how he can just continue at this advance at, 45 or 44?
He'll be 45, next month?
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible to watch him play in the precision in which he plays. I mean, think of how many throws are on that arm and shoulder for that many years in the hits and even he doesn't get hit nearly as much as a lot of quarterbacks, but
yeah,
still.
They're giving him really good protection.
Oh, they are. They're doing a great job. But, man, just the idea that he can still go out there at this age, throw the ball with such precision and just basically carve up any defense that's thrown at him, it's really incredible.
Yeah, you know, I have loved – my guy was Joe Montana.
Oh, yeah.
I was a Niners fan. My dad, even though I wasn't a huge Notre Dame fan, my dad was. and Montana had the lineage of coming from Western PA and going to Notre Dame, and then, you know, all the miracles that he produced at San Francisco, and that's Brady's idol, right?
Sure.
And Brady has so far eclipsed Montana in every sense of the word now. I mean, the play that they had to have at the end of the game, he rolls out of the pocket. He hadn't been out of the pocket the whole game, and buys more time, and then flows a pinpoint pass to Antonio Brown to continue that drive and win the football game. I mean, the guy is amazing. He really is.
Yeah, I mean, he is.
A fifth-round draft pick who's legendary 40-yard dash.
Oh, yeah. And you take a picture of his body, you know, during the combine back in the day, and they look at, this guy's the GOAT, you know, the
who
greatest
had to
of all.
To fight and scratch and claw to keep his job when he was at Michigan,
right,
for goodness sakes, with Drew Henson there.
He had a lot of good games at Michigan.
Yeah, I did.
You know?
Yeah, yep.
The guy has transformed himself in I don't know who you would put on the other, you know, in the Parthenon, who's the greatest football player of all time. You know, Jim Brown, maybe.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice. I mean, those are the only two other guys I could think of. Maybe Lawrence Taylor defensively.
Right.
But, I don't see any reason, unless he gets hurt, that Tampa won't win another Super Bowl.
Right.
I don't see it at all.
No, I know.
I mean, their defense is rounding into shape. I mean, what's his name? Sherman got hurt.
Yeah.
They're going to have some other DBs back. I don't know.
Right.
You know, sooner or later, that defense is going to have to play better like it did last year. But the Chiefs are abhorrent.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't stop a nosebleed.
No, they're shockingly bad right now.
Yeah. I like them to win tomorrow or Sunday against a surprisingly worse Redskin team. That team looked like it was going to be the defensive powerhouse of the league, and man, that's been a shock. Ron Rivera's got to go.
That's a turmoil city inside there.
Let's finish that discussion since it kind of piggies back in, and we'll talk about the actual games in pro and college. But we were talking off air about the John Gruden thing, right?
Ooh.
So how does it, but here's the question, the real question. How does an investigation into the sexual problems in the workplace at the Washington football team result in the only firing being John Gruden?
Well, that's the only firing so far. I think this is just the beginning. It's almost the tip of the iceberg. I agree with you, JC, but
I'm not letting Gruden off the hook.
There's a little bit of a there's something behind the scenes about Gruden that we don't know. To leak that particular stuff to one newspaper, the New York Times, they seem to get everything all the time. But there's something going on.
Well,
there.
It actually went to the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal is the first one that released the first email.
Yeah,
right?
and then the New York Times blew it up.
I'm sorry, and they're look at how stupid can you be? I've said some off color things to you guys. Mm-hmm. We're not on the air.
We all do. Yeah.
But I have never put an email together and sent it to anybody that said, you know, this guy is gay or whatever, or she's...
We're not drafting queers.
Right,
But as soon as an email from John Gruden that refers to the commissioner of the NFL questioning his sexuality, you know that he's getting... Whatever's going to happen... Gruden's going,
right?
Because
That's
not going to survive. And that is strictly politics inside the NFL. So, and that's why David Carr and all these other people go, we need to see every single one of these emails. It's not a coincidence that Gruden got thrown under the bus. But Dan Snyder, you know what Snyder does for a living, right? He's a PR and media guy.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right.
He did his job so well that he garnered enough money to be able to buy the Washington Redskins.
Yeah. Right.
He's been under the hot seat almost since day one, since he's been the owner of the thing. And now he stepped away and his wife is the president.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Give me a flipping break.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, you know that's in name only.
No kidding.
I mean,
Bruce Allen seems to be, you know, it was the consigliere of everybody in the NFL.
Yeah.
Is he related to George Allen?
Yeah,
his son, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Boy, I knew George a little bit. Yeah. Every time
great guy.
Oh, really great guy. Every time we traveled with the Wings out to Detroit,
right.
George Allen would come up to the media area and say, you know, introduce himself, talk with us for a few minutes, say hello to all my friends back in Detroit for me, will you?
So you're originally from Detroit.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He went to Detroit Central High or something like that, one of the original PSL schools.
Yeah.
His dad was an auto worker, a real blue-collar guy.
Yeah. Right.
And George Allen is like Gary Player. You know, health nut.
Yeah,
right.
100% positive.
Yes.
Everything's great today.
Yes, you know? Yes.
He's running around during Pompeii and Mount Vesuvius. The sky is not falling.
They were right.
And his son is sending pictures of topless cheerleaders, you know, to his friends on the, online.
That's fun, too.
Yeah, I still believe that we're just seeing the beginning of
the
story.
I don't know about that.
I really don't.
You know, what Roger Goodell's single purpose in life is to protect the 32 owners of the football teams.
Right.
And that's, to me, is what has happened. So we will see. But I disagree with you. I believe that no matter what, you will not see a big imbroglio at the Washington football or the Washington Justice.
Okay.
I think
we will. The media is onto this thing, and it's like a dog on a fresh bone. They're not going to let it go. Everybody is demanding to see these $650,000 emails.
They're not entitled to it.
They're not. But there will be more leaks.
Think about some of the owners in the NFL. I mean, the one guy from the Philadelphia Eagles gambled his team away. I mean,
right.
Look, there have been some sleazy guys in
have
owned NFL franchises.
Sure.
You know, 1/80th of the information that came out about Al Davis. This guy is one of the scummiest human beings on the planet and never even had the cash to own the team. But he was screwed everybody out of it.
Right.
And he's in the Hall of Fame, and they're doing, you know...
Professional sports is rife with stories like that about ownership. Peter Pocklington in Edmonton, Bill Davidson of the Pistons, on and on and on, screwing people to get to the top, to get their billions.
Who was that guy that owned either the Islanders for a short period of time?
And
he wasn't even a real dude. He was just hanging with rich people, and he was on their coattails, and they come to find out this guy really didn't have a penny to buy anything.
No.
But he was temporarily owned the team. Yeah. I mean, it was wild.
Who owned the Oilers had a whole fake gold coin collection.
Oh, no, that was Peter McNall.
Absolutely had to trade Gretzky.
Right.
Because
Pocklington started his fortune. He stole his dad's car and sold it.
my gosh.
He got a couple of grand, and he used it to start building his little empire.
Oh,
yeah, bless
wow.
America.
Oh,
yeah.
Yep.
I got to catch my breath. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio Friday Face-Off, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, where when we return, we'll talk about gambling on professional and collegiate football and a bad beat that I took last night.
Ugh.
All that and more here on Friday Face-Off. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Porsche. brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. You know what? We should have, before we get into college professional football, we did open the show with hockey, and the hockey season is back in full swing, and nobody's happier than Keith Gage. And there's no better place to bet on the NHL than FanDuel Sportsbook. NHL parlays are the perfect way to make every shot feel like a hat trick. You could turn a little bet into a big payday, and all season long, FanDuel is giving away every customer NHL parlay insurance, Keith.
You'll get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short. If you don't have a FanDuel account, sign up now using promo code WGRI WGRY to place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. FanDuel is always hooking you up with great odds and exclusive offers.
Plus, when you win, you'll get paid out in as little as 24 hours. This season, make every moment more and bet on the NHL with FanDuel Sportsbook. And remember to use the promo code WGRY so they know I sent you. 21 and over and present in the state of Michigan. Parlay insurance. We all need more insurance. Max refund $25 a day. Risk-free bet only. First online real money wager only. Refund issued with a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days for the parlay insurance and 14 days for the risk-free bet. Restrictions do apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117.
Talk about gambling problems.
Yeah.
A lot of people's gambling problems were exposed on Saturday during the college football season, and maybe one of the greatest weeks in college football history, guys.
Pretty fun, wasn't
it? Did you hear about the one bet? So what some real experienced gamblers do, guys, is bet heavy favorites in parlays. Okay, so they'll bet Alabama and Georgia and Texas and, right. and all on the same sheet. So when you have them, all five have got to win, but it dissipate. You don't have to pay the point spreads, right?
Right?
So
right.
It's a very interesting way to gamble. Well, somebody put $1.5 million
wow.
on a three-team parlay that included Alabama to win.
Oh.
And the story came out of Vegas. They're like dancing in the streets. And another thing that Vegas is dancing in the streets about is San Francisco getting bumped out because there was a ton of action. I told you, I bet on the Giants to win the World Series halfway through the season at plus 470.
Oh,
wow!
And there was over $7 million. Of action bet on that. That got cashed out last night when the Giants got screwed on a check swing call with our buddy Max Scherzer on the mound. Maybe some of you would have enjoyed our conversation in the green room about that. But just a fantastic weekend of college football. I thought Alabama looked like they were in trouble anyways.
Yep, right.
I was listening to some other gambling guy on the radio this morning, and he said, well, the Alabama's still going to end up in the national championship. I don't think so. I don't think Alabama is – they're going to have to beat Georgia.
Right.
And I don't think they can.
In the SEC championship, probably.
Unless Georgia suffers an injury, mm-hmm. I can't see this Alabama team beating that Georgia team. That defense,
Rich.
It's an 85 Bears defense.
It is. It's ridiculous. They've got two first-round defensive tackles playing right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're incredible.
Oh, their defense is better than the Lions. I think that defense could play in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
That's a really good team. I said a couple of weeks ago when we were talking, I thought Georgia was the best team in the country, and they're proving me right so far. And Alabama hasn't looked like Alabama all year long, really. And Clemson's gone, so it's going to be, the next...
Ohio State's
starting to get moving.
But they haven't played anybody since Oregon.
They're going to.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody is in the swimming pool in the next couple of weeks, right?
You got five teams in the top ten, Big Ten teams in the top ten, four of them in the same division.
Yeah.
Ohio State.
But how does Iowa avoid playing Michigan, Michigan State, or Ohio State all
in
the same season?
You're exactly right. That's something is drastic.
I don't know how that happens.
And Wisconsin gets that break, frequently, too. That division is very different than the Eastern.
Well, they should make it North and South, not East and West.
Yeah.
They really should.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it is going to be extraordinarily interesting. What did you guys make of Michigan's win at Nebraska?
I thought it was impressive. I thought they did a good job. Nebraska, I thought they'd put up a pretty good fight, and they did. I thought in Michigan, as the quarterback, Kate McNamara said, in recent years past, we lose this game.
Yeah.
That was a very telling quote and said a lot about this team and the teams in the past and maybe their coaching staffs too. I thought it was this kid's a leader. I like him
well,
a lot.
Well, you know, but and Martinez is just that kind of frustrating quarterback, right? You know, they're driving and they rip the ball out of his arms. Although Michigan has done this twice now, they did the same thing to Rutgers.
That's right.
So I mean, we're not going to lose this football game by hell or high water.
That's
so
what I like about this.
So we'll see. I mean, this Michigan State game is ramping up to be something very interesting and a flip of the script, Keith. Generally speaking, it's Michigan State who's coming in with the defense and Michigan who's coming in with the offense, and it's pretty much the opposite this time around.
Was Michigan State fun to watch the other day or not? My God, 360 plus.
Well, Michigan is going to have to figure out how to pressure Thorne.
Peyton Thorne.
Because nobody has yet.
Right.
That's been the one thing, right? So we haven't seen him under duress. And when you've got wide receivers running wide open, it's pretty easy to hit them, Rich.
It sure makes your offense a lot more balanced out because they got a great running back who's in the, halfway through the early Heisman. I mean, he's playing great. I mean, but when Thorne is taking care of the football, but yet they're making, deep throws. They're doing a great job. This is so shocking for this Michigan State team because I don't think anybody saw it coming. I mean,
well, I don't even know if Mel Tucker saw it coming. I mean, our buddy George Blanton never even mentioned the offense.
Right.
So, so it's going to be an extremely interesting contrast in styles, and we'll talk more about it as we get closer to the game because I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. But, if Michigan can run the football on Michigan State, possess the ball, do what they need to do, and then play their balanced defense, it should make for a fantastic game. But you take a look at Michigan State, and for a second, as a Michigan fan, you get a little nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, listen, we need to be careful about getting ahead of ourselves. They still got to win at Indiana, and they will, I think.
Michigan State, yeah.
To go 7-0. Michigan's got a bye week this week. Michigan State, if they win, they'll have the bye week, and then they'll both face one another in East Lansing at 7-0.
Well, yeah, Michigan gets a scrimmage against Northwestern.
Correct.
Couldn't be a better setup for that. I hate to say it because I really do like Pat Fitzgerald, but this is just not a good Northwestern football team. I think State will be tested. The State is in a lucky situation, like we talked about last week, guys, that Michigan didn't have to look ahead to that. They could concentrate on Nebraska.
Right.
They looked fantastic in the first half. And then, how loud was it at Nebraska?
Yes.
If you could get it that loud in the big house,
oh my Lord.
Ohio State's going to have some problems. But
I did like the running back, Corum, after he scored that touchdown and he was eating an ear of corn. I thought that was a great celebration.
Those kids are having fun.
They are.
I like seeing that.
So it's a very light schedule this week in college football. Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan all not playing this week.
Wow, yeah.
So, but like we said, Penn State's got to play Ohio State, Michigan State, and Michigan. Michigan's got to play the same three teams. I mean, it's just going to be amazing.
This round robin.
It's going to be. And unfortunately, I think in the back of my mind, Ohio State might just come out of the whole mess. Unless, I don't know. We'll see. Injuries are going to play a part coming in here. Look at Penn State had Iowa dead to rights until Clifford got hurt.
Oh, yes. Yep. No, yep. They were the better team.
Oh, by far.
Yes. No doubt.
I have
about
never
it.
Seen a kid more nervous in my entire life, Rich, that came into a football game than the replacement quarterback at Penn State.
Oh, yeah.
That first snap, he dropped
just,
it.
Right. I mean, he just wasn't ready. Yeah. I mean, they say you're one snap away from going in. Well, he obviously didn't think that because he was, he did. He showed. I mean, I almost felt bad for the kid.
That's exactly what I'm saying is I have never seen anybody more unprepared to play in a game than that.
Right.
And it's too bad because Penn State would look good.
Yes. No, that was, they were, that's a good team, again, with Clifford at the helm. That flipped the switch completely for the entire game.
Yeah, and it kind of puts Iowa in a fraud position, like, I don't care who they have to play in the Big Ten championship. There ain't no way that team is going to beat Michigan or Ohio State, or Penn State could still end up in there.
Yeah.
Penn State runs the table.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going. So it's a big thing. You know, and one other thing really quickly, guys, and Keith, you probably pay more attention to this than Richard or I do, but there's still all these people nationally, they go, oh, the Big Ten sucks.
Yeah.
I know.
It won't matter. Ohio State's coming out. Yeah, I mean, that's all they know, right? You know,
it is.
It's all they, because they really don't pay attention. They rely on, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
The Big Ten is legit, especially the Eastern.
And you got the mouth from the South always degrading the Big Ten and all of that, you know. So he's SEC, which he should be, but man, they are in partners with the ESPN, all of that. So, you know, that combines together with that network, and there's a lot of people listening to that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But there are a few games that I just want to talk briefly about before we head to break. Clemson is down. Big time. They are giving 13.5 to Syracuse at home. It's a pretty decent Syracuse football team. I like Syracuse getting the points in the dome there. Nebraska, even though they lost, are favorites at Minnesota. Now, I know Minnesota's got some running back issues because they lost the one great kid in that first Ohio State game. Now they're the tailback who's been doing a pretty good job since then. He's out, but I don't care. That Nebraska team, they might play hard,
right,
but there's just something holding over that program. So I love Minnesota getting 3.5 at home against Nebraska in a huge rivalry game.
Yes.
Minnesota-Nebraska is a big rivalry.
Minnesota's going to row the boat.
And then I already bet it, guys, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. Kentucky's getting 21.5. from Georgia.
Kentucky's a pretty decent team.
Number 11 Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's a lot of points.
I watched them a little bit last week.
Florida and Tennessee. And Tennessee's pretty good. Watch out for them. They got an interesting football game coming up this weekend, too. But, you know, Mark Stoops is starting to look like a pretty good football coach.
Yes.
And I don't think there's any chance in hell Kentucky wins at Georgia.
Right.
But 21.5, we're going to find out really how good Georgia is on Saturday.
Yeah.
And your buddies ESPN are doing game day from there.
Yes.
How do you like number 12 Oklahoma State at number 25, Texas favored by 4?
Texas spit the bit.
They did. They had that game. Oh, my gosh. I guess so cool. It's just that Red River rivalry.
Isn't that a fun game?
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
and the one other game, the over-under of that game was 77, and they went over it easy, right? Well, Ole Miss was in a shootout last week with Arkansas. Did you see that game?
Yes.
All right, so, I mean, I had thumb fatigue like we were talking about beforehand. I was crazy. Cheryl is like, she comes down and she's like, did you just give birth? But Ole Miss is playing Tennessee and the over is 82.5.
Wow. I see 83 right here.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it could easily go over that. Ole Miss's last game went over that.
How many games are going over 100 points?
Yeah.
A lot.
Defense is optional.
Defense is optional there. All right, when we return here on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, we'll go over the NFL schedule and give you some of our picks there. And, of course, a little later on, Rich and I will review the upcoming high school schedule of games. And it's all brought to us by our good friends at Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Well, there's a ton of those betting platforms. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. I've got a couple other bets that I put down at Odawa Casino last night, guys.
You?
Me, surprise. my Dodgers Giants under cashed. That was a pretty easy bet. I gave that out as
that was
the other bet that I really liked a lot was Antonio Brown going over 63.5 yards. That was pretty easy.
Good.
Yeah, he's him and Tom Brady are really
especially
that connection.
Out, he's kind of turned in there. But I did take Kentucky in the 21.5, and I liked BYU. BYU cost me last week. Now they're getting 6.5 from a Baylor team. I think I like BYU to bounce back. Michigan State has been bet down, guys. It opened up at 4.5 and is now down to 3.5. I know that Penick is probably not going to play.
Right.
But, you know, this is a game that Indiana really needs to be bowl eligible. So they're going to get – Michigan State's going to get everything that Indiana's got. And they, and it's been a house of horrors for them down there,
it has,
too.
They're still going to win mid-30s, 35 to 17, 20, maybe 20, yeah, something like that. I think that –
Like an easy cover by Michigan State.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
And Indiana's the team preseason came in as the top 20 team. They expected a lot out of this team, all of that, but it's just everything has went against them, and they just haven't developed. So you're right. I think Michigan State's going to get their best shot, but I don't know. It's certainly not going
to
be.
Guys, we'll go over the schedule, and then we'll go to the Lions, because we still even haven't talked about what happened in the latest Lions.
Another.
Lore debacle. Miami is in London against the fighting Urban Meyers, and Miami's giving Jacksonville 3. Does Jacksonville have to leave the country to get a win?
They might. Can't we send better representatives of the NFL over to Europe?
No, the key question is, can Urban Meyer find a pub that he can have a little bit of fun in?
There's a lot of them.
I don't know. Well, you know, with Jacoby Brissett, this Miami Dolphin team has been surprisingly bad.
Bad.
So, you know, I kind of like the Jags to get a win here.
Because this Miami team was supposed to have a really good defense coming into the season, and they haven't even shown up.
No, not at all.
Miami's minus 3? Is that what
they're giving minus 3 to the Jags in...
to get their first win.
Yeah, I like the Jags to at least cover, if not win outright. I mean, shit. Shit, I said shit. Oh, I know Cheryl's not listening, so that's good. They've lost 20 in a row now, right? So it's the second longest losing streak in football. You can't lose forever. The Lions have improved.
Here come Detroit. Watch out.
The Chiefs, another complete surprise. Man, those guys can't. What a bad defense the Chiefs have, Rich.
Oh, I know. Well, 2 years ago, they were atrocious defensively, fired their D coordinator, got a new one. Everything was good for almost a year, and then all of a sudden now they're right back to their ways. I mean,
at Washington, they're giving away 6.5, and the over-under is the highest over-under, 54.5. Is that what you got, too?
Well, yeah, Washington was supposed to have this lethal defense that it hasn't showed up again either. I think Ron Rivera is a fraud.
Their defensive line was supposed to be one of the better ones in the NFL. And
Chase Young is turning out to be, you know, maybe as bad, you know,
1 year wonder.
I really doubted the fact that he was going to be great, and maybe he's gotten into the NFL lifestyle, and you know,
was really good last year as a rookie. But
I like the Chiefs to run like maniacs. But yeah, the over is probably good unless it's 82.
Over 54.5.
64.5.
54.5.
Wow, that's
the highest over.
That's right. The Rams are flying to New York to play the completely injured Giants. That was a brutal game.
Oh, it was.
I like the Rams to cover, you know.
9.5 is over.
It's been bet down from 10.5 down to 9. I can't believe that. I would jump on the Rams
absolutely
at any cost. Yeah. The Colts lost a heartbreaker. They're giving 10 to a Houston, Texas team that should have beat New England. I like Texans with the points.
Yeah. Indianapolis, they played tough last week, but they're having a hard time getting wins.
I mean, it's a tough league to get wins in.
Yep.
The Packers are looking pretty good, and I think they'll have no problem, even in Chicago, covering the 5.5 they're giving to the Bears. You guys have a...
I agree. It's been bet up a little bit. It was 5 I had.
Now, one of the best games of the day, guys, is the Ravens with the Chargers coming in.
The Chargers
team is a really good football team.
Should be a great game.
Yeah, the Ravens, it's been bet down from 3.5 to 2.5. I still like the Chargers here. That Charger defense is for real. And I like the Ravens, but I think... That Justin Herbert will be able to shred that secondary, that non-existent secondary that the Ravens have.
Yeah, he's playing super well.
Oh, yeah, he looks really, really good.
Yeah.
The Panthers are giving 2.5 to the Vikings. I don't know what to make of the Vikings. If Dalvin Cook is back, I like the Vikings. I mean, that's just a different football team when Cook plays.
even though the kid that filled in for him played very well, of course, it was against the Lions.
How do they only score 19 points against the Lions?
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
Although the Lions' defense is starting to play better, period. They played pretty good defense against the Bears. The Bears. But so I don't know what to make of the Vikings.
Minnesota's minus two, do you have?
Minus 2.5.
2.5 at Carolina?
Yeah. Carolina, McCaffrey again.
And they laid an egg last week.
The Vikings are like the Minnesota Gophers college team. They're hard to figure out.
Yeah, and Kirk Cousins is having a great year.
I wouldn't put a penny on
it. Statistically. But it's...
Another great game is that the Browns are favored by 3.5 with Arizona coming to town, Arizona being the only unbeaten team in football. You know, and I know what this is born out of is the fact that Arizona has trouble stopping the run. Chandler Jones isn't going to play, and that Brown team can grind it, man.
Yes.
They look like the Packers of the 60s. They just, I don't even know why you throw the football.
Right, yeah, they got two running backs that are studs.
Oh, yeah, and that offensive line is opening some serious holes for them. You got to make business decisions against
Nick
Chubb.
Yes.
But given the Cardinals 3.5, I don't care. That's still, you know... Yep. Man, that Kyler Murray looks pretty good.
He is good.
The disheveled Raiders are getting 4 from the Broncos.
How do they respond with the turmoil?
That's the big guesswork, isn't it? Is David Carr a leader? You're going to find that out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Broncos were pretty disappointing. They looked to I thought for sure they'd take the Steelers out, but defense, I don't know what happened.
They no-showed there.
Yeah, Vic Fangio is I want to shoot him. And here is another really tough game to call. The Cowboys are on the road against the Patriots, and they're given 3.5 to New England at home. Now, normally, when's the last time New England got 3.5 at home?
Right.
But this Dallas team looks
really good.
They look good. I hate to say it.
I do, too.
The only team that has covered the spread every single game this year.
Yes, exactly. Are the Cowboys.
3.5, you got them at?
Yeah. I don't know. Can Belichick put together the same type of defensive plan that he did against Brady? But, I mean, he knows Brady's head.
Yes.
I don't know how much he knows about
Prescott.
Prescott and who's the kid, Kellen Moore, who's calling the plays there and doing a really good job.
They're talking that he might be a head coaching candidate coming up in the next cycle.
He was the backup quarterback for the Lions.
Yes.
But, I mean, think about the offensive weapons for that team, guys. They've got a fantastic offensive line. Dax Prescott is playing exceptionally
best
well
he ever
in football. You got CeeDee Lamb, and who's the other wideout? Both the running backs. I mean, that is a handful.
Those two running backs are as good as almost as good as Cleveland's duel.
The Steelers are now favored against the Seahawks. I would like the Seahawks here, except for Russell Wilson is gone. But what's his name? Looked pretty good.
He did.
Geno Smith.
Geno, yeah.
You know.
He did. I mean, the receiver fell down. He got tripped, and that's why the pick happened. But no, he came in, and he was ready to play.
And then the Monday night game is going to be fantastic.
Buffalo, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Buffalo by 5.5. You got them.
It's been bet up. It opened at 3.5.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Buffalo's on a roll right now.
Well, you know the Titans. We'll see if they can stop. You're going to see a lot of my man.
Yeah. Josh Allen.
No, not Josh Allen. The Titans tailback.
Oh yeah. Henry.
Yeah, Derrick Henry.
He is the man. That's making a business decision whether you take him
quarter,
on.
I mean, guys are just like, I have to tackle him.
If you're a safety and you see him come through the hole, none of the linebackers or linemen have touched him, you're like, oh, no.
The over is 53, and I like the over on that one.
Yeah, you know, probably. Yeah. That's a good call there, Keith. All right, so there's our NFL lineup.
Except for... We really haven't.
Yeah, we didn't
talk.
That's right. So I kind of want to avoid it. But I mean, what can you say? You gotta love the effort.
Absolutely.
You and I, Keith, were texting, and we talked a little bit about this, and Rich was in on some of those texts. You know, I applaud Campbell.
Yeah.
The guts to go for two.
In that situation was
awesome. It was great. It just it made And they
caught the pass. I never even heard of the guy.
Yeah.
Cardale. Or,
yeah, I don't even know to this day.
You know, and now they got another, what's his name? The kid from Cephas is out for the year. Yeah. I mean, every time you turn around,
right,
there's another injury. I mean, DeAndre Swift is looking like a top five running back in this league.
He's a little banged up.
Is a good backup. I mean, I know they're not Chubb and Allen, but, you know, they've got a nice little thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But Goff has played really well, and he's a smart quarterback, but he makes that one turnover every single flipping game.
He's got small hands, and the ball gets knocked out of his mitts so easily.
I want to love the guy. I really do. Because he's smart.
Yeah.
And you know what? And he's taken a little bit of a licking to, you know, because look at the one thing you can say about this Lions team, categorically, is they love each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what we were watching with the Pistons last year, where this is a bunker mentality, and we're going to fight like hell for each other, but it doesn't work out.
How long has it been since we've been able to say that about the Detroit Lions, though? It's been almost decades, really.
Right.
You're right.
Ever seen a coach cry at the press?
No. No, it was beautiful.
Beautiful. It shows you, how much he loves this team, what it means.
Why? Wouldn't you learn your lesson against the Ravens and rush everybody? You know what? If I'm Dan Campbell, I'm Riverboat Dan.
Listen,
it's a zero blitz.
I was sitting next to my wife. You know, they had two plays, and I said, "You got to bring the house. Bring the house." They rushed three, and the same thing happens. Big chunks, two passes, spike the ball,
kick
the game winning field goal.
Exact replay of the Ravens game.
Yes, it was mad.
So, I guess, Keith, when you're in the press room after the game and you see Dan Campbell cry, do you have the guts to go, "Coach, God love you, but what the hell are you doing?"
You have to. Yeah. You have
but I didn't hear that question. Did you?
No. But that's the first question. That's the first question. "Coach, I get it. You know, you're upset, but could you have avoided the tears by maybe rushing a few more guys?"
Right.
Blitz.
Because so, in their
guys, are we going to see them get over the hump, or is the back?
They won't
broken?
Fold. I don't think they'll fold.
Okay,
no,
so
I think
you like them getting 3.5 from the Bengals at home?
I do. I don't think they'll win the game, but I think they're going to play another. I see one of those. They're going to score some.
The front four, Rich, is playing way better defense.
And Taylor Decker is practicing again. He's off
he
the IR.
He should be back.
He won't play Sunday. He won't play Sunday.
Oh, he's not. He's not.
No, same with Kevin Strong.
Football shape.
You know what? But I do like Penei Sewell. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but he makes one mistake every game.
He's a rookie.
I get it.
He's the youngest starting offensive left tackle in NFL history.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I got Cincinnati winning 31-30, by the way.
Oh, wow. Joe Burrow's a good quarterback, by the way.
I'm excited about seeing him.
And Joe Mixon is very
good.
Real deal.
And he's got Jamar Chase, the rookie receiver's playing well.
Yeah, they've got some pieces.
They do.
Yeah. All right, when we return here on Friday Faceoff, we'll talk to James Cook from the Record Eagle. We'll start talking about high school football. Keith is going to run out the door. We'll be back after these. But as we mentioned, NFL Week 6 is here, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants to get you the most out of every play. They're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you got to do is build a same-game parlay with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. When the Lions take on the Bengals, I like the Lions money line. Goff over in passing yards and the under in total points in the fourth quarter. That's an exotic three-game parlay. But betting on the FanDuel Sports app is easy and safe, and they pay you out fast when you win.
In as little as 24 hours, lock in your bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. Give it up to getting back to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. Easy for me to say. New at FanDuel, sign up with the promo code WGRY to get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code WGRY.
21 and older at present in Michigan to play. Refund issued on non-withdrawal site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay, trademark available with for multiple sports in all states on mobile web. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
We'll be right back after these words from our fine partners on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio. Jordan would say.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne, Keith Gave, Rich Calkin in studio, although Keith will be leaving us shortly. But we got James Cook on from the TC Record Evil. Good morning, James. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
We're great. So are you making the trip with Rich and our guys up to Marquette?
I am not.
Well, you're wise man, James.
We did a trade with the Marquette newspaper, so we covered them. We covered the Marquette game for them when they came down here and played Central, so they're going to cover the game when West goes up there.
Well, so. that means no burgers for you,
right? Yeah, no Clyde's burgers for you, James. But that's a wise partnership.
Yeah. So, James, if you're not going to Marquette, where are you going to this week?
I'm actually going to be just sitting in the office tonight taking the phone calls because you got to do that once in a while. You can't leave everybody else doing the desk work all the time. So I got the short straw this week. But it's a nice slate of football games this week. Traverse City Central against Brother Rice. That's two powerhouse teams. And then West against Marquette is a pretty solid matchup too. I mean, Marquette's 5-2. You got Cadillac against Portland. Portland, I think, is 6-1. Cadillac's 5-2.
That's their out of conference game.
And how impressive is this Portland team? Their lone loss was a 2-point loss to Lansing Catholic, who was the number one team in Division VI. And this team beat DeWitt earlier in the year.
Portland?
Yes.
Beat DeWitt?
DeWitt. I wondered who they lost to. They had one loss on the record. I'm like, who did they lose to? They lost to Portland.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is a real deal. Cadillac's in for it.
They lost by 2.
God bless them.
Yeah, they only lost by 2.
Yeah. So, it's a good game.
Cadillac's got its hands full. But, yeah, and it's just it's a real busy week in sports.
Yeah.
The whole weekend is busy. I mean, you've got the golf state finals, the tennis state finals, soccer districts going on. You know, NHL and NBA starting up, and NFL, and high school season's winding down.
Speaking of soccer,
the
story's going national.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah.
It is. Well, you got school boards involved now writing letters. The school board president from Kingsley also happened, her kid was one of the goaltenders for Kingsley. Got scored upon numerous times. So
the back
there's the back story.
You're talking about the kid who scored 16
goals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
Yeah, so now it's, you know, it's being picked up as a goofy story nationally.
Right.
And
where do you draw the line? Is it sportsmanship? Is it this? Is it that?
Well, every once in a while you get that, like when that, you know, that girls' team scored 100 points
and
the other team didn't score a basket, you know. It's taking away from the fact that this kid is an outstanding soccer player, James.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great soccer player. You know, seems like a good kid too. I mean, just outside of soccer, just seems to be a kid with, you know, got a head of shoulders right and everything, and just seems to be a good kid too. So, I mean, the whole thing has kind of spiraled into this whole thing of backlash, where now they're talking about, you know, the soccer players at Kingsley are getting bullied because the team's not very good. And all this, we're having these kind of things come out at other schools even now. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, but Pine River announced just the other day that they're canceling the rest of their football season because of what they referred to as a toxic culture.
Happened in New York City, in upstate New York, too.
Because the team's not very good.
But, getting back to the soccer thing, when parents get involved, then all of a sudden, it kind of, things go haywire and... This is what's happening.
Hey, can I just say something? James mentioned he's got to work the desk tonight, answering phones. It got my heart racing a little bit when he started talking about that. That was my introduction to the newspaper business. My first job at the Lansing State Journal as a part-timer, working Friday night, sports desk when all these coaches are calling in all at the same time. You got about eight guys around the desk. They're all calling. You're up against the deadline. The most fun I've ever had in this business.
Really? And you've got to write just a little blurb. Right.
Two paragraphs. If you're lucky, you know, you bang these things out, and see, you can't wait to see Saturday morning's newspaper to see those little two-paragraph stories that you wrote.
Sure.
What a rush that was.
Oh, it used to tick me off because in basketball, like, how come Coyne's name isn't in that story?
Right.
So, James, have fun tonight.
I will. I mean, you've got the golf and the tennis finals starting today, too. So, you know, we've got Traverse City, St. Francis, and tennis is probably the favorite in the Division IV state finals down in Ann Arbor. So
they're in Ann Arbor? They're not in Kalamazoo College. They used to have all those state finals at the Kalamazoo. They have a fantastic tennis facility at K College.
Yeah,
they do.
I'm surprised that
Now they do. They do each of the four divisions in different locations.
Oh, okay. Because it used to be that was it. They were all at K College.
Right.
Anything else, James?
We got the golf finals. You know, I think we've got a couple of girls from the Central and West and St. Francis teams that can very well finish in the top 10 in their divisions. Probably, especially Grace Slocum, the freshman from Traverse City, St. Francis.
Freshman.
See her player this week, and she's something.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a couple of the boys from Northern Michigan, too, that have made the finals that will acquit themselves quite well.
The boys' golf season is in the spring.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's why I didn't know.
Right. Yeah. Just an early prediction.
Yes.
Well, but the boys' golf used to be in the fall, so so my bad, James. Thanks. We'll check in with you and make sure to everybody to check in on all the scores tomorrow morning at the Record Eagle, either in the printed copy or online.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right.
Good luck on your trip to Marquette.
What a ball of fire. He's probably, you know, just conserving his energy, Keith, until he has to make all those. You scared him a little bit, I think.
I know what that job is like. And he's right. We were talking about football mostly, but a lot of other really important stuff's going on.
Right.
And you got to give those other sports some attention.
Yeah.
And that's his job tonight.
It's not
easy, especially with staffs getting smaller and smaller and smaller. There's more pressure on
them. I agree with you. It is tough on a local paper, and it really is the only local paper. I mean, we've got a couple other things here, but, you know, you can't short shrift, you know, girls soccer and the girls sports. Volleyball is going on right now.
Right now.
So, I mean, there is a lot going on, and what they have two guys in the sports department, I think.
You talk about getting parents involved. You know, you don't put that stuff in the paper and they get pretty ticked off.
Oh, yeah. You'll get those calls that how come my kid didn't make it?
I know. And, I'm not saying that there's not a place in sports for moms.
Right. Absolutely.
There's no doubt. I mean, but it just seems that when the mothers get upset, they just want to start changing the whole core of the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, there still has to be winners and losers.
Right.
And, you know, that's how you build competitiveness. I'm sorry that, you know, that this kid scored 16 goals.
Right.
But it's the old adage, if you don't want it to happen, then stop them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it happened all the way from the NFL when the Denver Broncos are crying about running this last play. Well, stop them, for Christ's sake.
Right.
You know?
You can't coach kids not to compete.
No.
Play hard. You got to keep playing hard.
And it's always about life lessons. That's what you're learning and teaching these kids. And if mom or dad step in every time little Joey gets beat, what is that teaching that kid? I
couldn't agree with you more.
You talk about Barry Switzer and his Oklahoma team's running scores up. He said, well, my third team was in there, and they're better than your first team. What am I going to do? Tell kids not to compete?
You
can't look at it. I mean, and that's part of the myopic nature of parenting is that you only see your kid.
Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah, you've been driving your kid to practice, and that's great. Sally Johnson is driving her son on the other side, and he's coming into play, and, you know, and she's rooting for him. So it can't, you know, that's right. Keith, you've seen it, and you're writing your book right now on women's hockey. The worst fan violence I've ever seen in the world is in women's hockey games when moms are fighting moms. I saw my ex-wife get in a hair-pulling contest. I'm just telling you.
Wow.
My ex-wife was the most, you know, democratic, liberal person that you could ever manage, and we're down in Warren, and it's on like Donkey Kong.
Wow.
Say it. I told you guys I was in a couple of hockey fights myself with dads, and it was brutal.
Right.
But women, those moms, with their daughters.
Oh yeah.
It is very, very emotional.
Wow. Hey, JC,
so we'll have to write that chapter in that book.
That's right. Hey, before I go, I just want to tell you to take it easy on Rich. Let him go pretty quickly. Don't linger. He's got to drive all the way to Marquette for this football game tonight. Then when it's over, there's a triple header they're playing.
Yes.
The game's over 10, 11 o'clock. Then you got the 4 or 5 hour drive back here, arrive at in the wee hours of the morning to get up again, and you two guys got to do a show in the morning, right?
As a matter of fact, I'm playing golf.
Yeah. I told JC last week, I'm like, hey, by the way, I'm coming back late from Marquette. What about doing it? He goes, I got to entertain some clients next week.
So you're doing the show yourself?
No, Chad Patterson.
Chad Patterson's coming in.
And Chad does
it is the last day of golf.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of a ritual for me. You guys like to go out in the woods and hunt.
Right.
You know, they close all the golf courses down on Sunday. So it's kind of a thing that I've been doing. I never get a chance to play golf.
Right.
You know, and so... thank God Rich is doing yeoman's work.
It's like September 30th in trout season, the last day of trout season.
Yeah, take care of those business partners. Yep. I mean, that's important, JC, no doubt about it.
Anyways, keep up the good work, you guys.
All right.
Thanks, Keith. All right, we do have a big game here in the Pigskin Preview now.
Harrison, are you there?
I am. What's going on, guys?
There you go, Harrison Beebe from 7-4 Sports. How are you, bud?
I'm great. Sorry, apologies for not being here the past few weeks. You know, the real world just always gets in the way of talking football sometimes. But just in time to hopefully put a cap on.
Well, you're on TV, so I know that those haircuts are important.
it leaked out. Yes, the rumors are true. It was a haircut. I couldn't hide it, obviously.
You look sharp last week doing the highlight show, by the way, Harrison. You did a great job, bud. The haircut was A1. I hope you tipped her well because she did a great job, bud.
Oh, I did. They take good care of us at the salon station to deal with. So I never let those guys know.
Hard to believe here, Harrison, but we're in week 8 now of the high school football season. It is absolutely flowing by, and we just continue to have great matchups. And one of the great ones is going to take place right in Traverse City with number 7, Brother Rice, comes north to take on number 4, TC Central.
KLR Warriors, hats off to thee.
Okay. JC is a Brother Rice alum, if you haven't known.
I remember, yeah. Go ahead, keep singing.
I know the song by heart. I don't know how many times we're going to hear it. A lot of people have been following the fact that I've been talking about this for a couple weeks now, Harrison, and they said, well, we were broadcasting live from the casino last night. They said, well, what's the point spread? I said, I think the Rice will cover the 10.5 they're getting from Central.
Wow, 10.5. That's, I don't know what casinos are churning that number, but... little spread for them.
It's going to be an interesting test for both teams, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I mean, who would have thought, you know, going into the season, we all knew the DeWitt game was big in the opener for Central, but who would have thought two D3 top 10 opponents would be kind of key in determining what Central was going to look like and feel like going into the playoffs, but I think that's exactly what we have on our hands here, and their matchup next week with North Farmington will also give us a lot to work off of.
Yeah.
And obviously in this season where the storyline is Central's wrapping up their time in the Big North Conference, it's these non-conference opponents that are just as you know, media as ever on that schedule to show what kind of Trojan team this is this year and if they can make another run to the semis like they did a year ago.
Right, and Brother Rice doesn't want to look forward. They take on defending Division IV champ Detroit Country Day next week. So they have a huge game lined up for themselves.
Well, Rich and I have talked about this a number of times. Harrison, I don't know how much you follow it outside of the district, but, you know, the Catholic League in Detroit, a lot of the teams won't play up against bigger opponents for fear of getting hurt. So you've got the Warren D. LaSalle's Catholic Central is coming up to play TC West next week. The big teams in the Catholic League and some of the teams in the PSL have got to take on a lot of games outside of their conference to fill out their schedules.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting to see these games trickle in. Central played Brother Rice a few years ago, correct?
They did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so, yeah, it's kind of weird to see these games slowly trickle in when we hadn't seen them before. And even West playing Marquette this week, I had to sit and ask myself, like, have they ever played Marquette? But apparently they had in a short series in the early part of the last decade. But
right, yes. I think they've played them five times thus far, and West has won each one of those matchups thus far. So.
Mm-hmm.
But
although Marquette's having a better season than they probably usually have, I don't know if that'll be enough to necessarily beat a West team that's definitely firing away, probably skill-wise a little ahead of them and school size-wise a little ahead of them too. So, but it is a road trip and a bus trip up north. If they're not used to it, it's a little different than, you know, a bus trip down south this time of year.
Well, yeah, it is. And that Marquette team, like you said, they've lost twice. And one of them was against Central. Of course, early in the year, it was the second game after Central's coming off that defeat to DeWitt. And they
put
60 on them.
But Marquette came down here.
And then they got beat by Menominee last week.
You can't discount some of these bus rides that these
teams
have to take. Right? Rice is going to have a four-hour bus ride tonight. They're probably leaving now. And you talked to West coach Greg Vaughn about I'm sure the West is on the bus already.
They're playing a triple header. Their freshmen are playing at 3.
Oh, they left at 8:00 in the morning.
Yeah, they did. They're going to stop like 3 or 4 different times, get the kids out because Greg Vaughn is very concerned about that long bus ride.
Yeah. Well, we've already noted the fact that they've been slow starters regardless.
Yes.
The only game they came out of the gate fast was against TC Central.
Right.
And, you know, it's a good thing that they did. But, it's been a problem for them. And I had never, I've only taken one really long bus ride, got out of the bus and had to play. And we killed them, so it didn't really matter. But, it's a factor here that you've been dealing with for a decade, Rich.
Oh, yeah, no question, JC. It does. And those kids, they just seem to, those long bus rides, it takes them a quarter, sometimes a half, to kind of wake up and get the muscles going. And mentally, it's for them to get in the game. And that's what happened with West playing Midland, first game of the year at the Big House. But then in that second half, they played outstanding to huge come from behind victory.
But, I mean, against this Marquette team, they're not going to be able to afford that.
No, because they score points. In their wins, they average like 48 points in their wins this year, Marquette does. So they've got a high-powered offense.
Harrison, who are you guys focusing on at 7-4?
Well, we're definitely circling those two games as I think two of the more talkative points based on how impressive the opponents are for Central and West. But I also like a good Charlevoix-Mantelona game, both those teams suffering losses to Boyne City
right.
for the leaders' division title, the NMFC. So it'll be interesting to see. I think they're going to be paired up in the same district in Division 7. It'd be interesting to see maybe which one can avoid St. Francis in the first round and maybe host a playoff game. I think that might be on the line in their meeting tonight. So a little something to play for as far as postseason seeding is concerned. But really, you got a week that's kind of, it feels like a calm before the storm to me, and this isn't an insult to any of our other area teams, but I think we all just are foaming at the mouth waiting to see what is going to happen between Kingsley and St. Francis next week when we finally get that number one versus number three matchup, both undefeated, both playing for the conference title, and both, quite frankly, look like our two best chances for 11-player teams up here to make a state finals run this year. So,
you know, in a weird way, as great as week eight is, I'm kind of almost looking forward to a week nine matchup already here, 8 days out.
Well, Rich has got a great one for you. I don't know if it's popped up on your radar, but Cadillac's got a big game.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they're down at Portland. That's correct, right?
Oh,
yes.
They're traveling to Portland.
Yes, they're down to Portland. And as you know, that's a Portland team that beat DeWitt earlier in the year. And, but man, that's any team that beats DeWitt has got my respect immediately.
Right. And then was that game scheduled all year, or is that a reschedule?
I don't know. To be honest with you, Harrison, I don't know what the factors are. But, man, for football high school junkies, man, this is a great one.
That Portland's right. Got a great history.
The Big North teams are really loading up that week eight slate. And, you know, it makes sense. As we've talked about Cadillac ad nauseum on this show already this year, you know, they want to make another run in the Division Four tournament as well. And no better way to do that than to prime yourself up with one of the best in Division Five.
Right.
They have taken on some world beaters this year, and, you know, my hat's off to Coach Mallory.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, not afraid to play the tough guys, for sure.
Yep.
Real quick, JC, and Harrison, I just want to mention there's a heavy, for the Big North Conference, there's a heavy dose of the west side of the UP in play. Petoskey travels to Kingsford tonight. Of course, we know TC West goes up to Marquette. Brother Rice, that's one's different. And then Gaylord, they travel to Gladstone tomorrow.
Well, and St. Mary's has got Rudyard.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like
I don't know if they're – I think Rudyard's coming here because St. Mary's was up there last week,
St. Mary's is at home, yeah.
But so Rudyard's gets to stop at
Clive's. Can we get some kind of traveling going for this series?
Harrison, we haven't had a chance to ask you about our favorite our favorite topic when teams are traveling to the UP, and that's Clyde's. Have you been to Clyde's?
Do they serve pasties?
No. Well, I don't know.
They actually do.
Anybody ever orders them.
No, exactly. You always got to get to Clyde's.
Where's Clyde's located?
Yeah.
So you've never been to Clyde's.
Ooh.
Oh, my golly.
Drive through right just a little bit west of St. Ignace there, and also over at Manistique, a second location.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah
Clyde's is widely acknowledged to be the best burger joint in the UP, and their French fries are fantastic, and homemade shakes.
Yeah.
It is
amazing.
It's a throwback to the 50s.
Yeah.
If Ray Kroc had stopped in at Clyde's instead of McDonald's, that's what Clyde's would be.
Yes.
It's even better than Don's Drive-In. You sure you want to put it on that scale?
No offense to Don's.
Right.
Don's does not make great cod.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I might take Don's shakes over anything else, but I'm willing to taste test another restaurant. But no, whenever I'm in the UP, I got to think of a legitimate pasty place. So
right.
That's usually a priority, but I'll keep Clyde's in mind because,
yep,
you know, obviously a burger's never a bad idea.
Oh, I'm a big pasty fan. I've got three of them frozen Latos pasties in my freezer right now. When my wife travels to the Midwest, she stops at Latos for me and gets me a bunch of pasties.
There you go. All right, Harrison. So we'll be checking you out pre and post game over on 7-4.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Harrison.
All right, there you go. The pigskin preview. Good to have Harrison back. And, you know, I don't know if I completely agree with him. A calm before the storm, like we pointed out.
Right.
There's some pretty good football games. Not a massive schedule about it, but I know I got to let you go. When are you guys hitting the road?
We are meeting back here at 1 o'clock, JJ and I, and then we're meeting Tom Devitt up at Indian River.
Yes. Right.
Yep, so looking forward to it.
So there you go, sports fans. I know a lot of you will not be making the trip to see the Traverse City West Titans take on Marquette. What's their?
Redmond.
The Redmond, that's right. So you can hear that game on 106.3 WWMN, or the game is now streaming.
Streaming, yes.
So we got our stream put together, and that's going to stream on Up North Sports.
On our Q100 website. There's a tab there that says
TC
West.
I wasn't sure if we were going to put it on the sports website, so it's on Q100-FM.com. If you can't get 106.3 and you want to get that game, Then go to Q100-FM.com and look for the TC Titans tab, and you'll be able to stream Rich and Tom, and a special shout-out to JJ for his production duties.
Yeah, he does a great job.
And then Rich will be back here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock with Chad Patterson for the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show.
Yep, looking forward to that. Going to go over all the scores and have coaches with some interviews.
And then you can send him all the, Unisom. And
exactly. I just might come into the office right here. My truck is here. I'll just lay down on the couch.
That's a pull-out couch.
All right,
so,
perfect.
All right, there you go. All right, thanks for joining us here on Friday Face-Off in the Pigskin Preview, brought to us by our good friends at Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. We'll see you next week. Oh, one last thing I wanted to mention. So, one of our sponsors here on Up North Sports Radio is Legends North, the card and memorabilia store. Well, they are having a grand opening party on November 6th.
Okay.
I don't know if we'll be able to broadcast from it or not. We'll have to find out what's going on with the Michigan game at that time. But Detroit Tiger legend Mickey Stanley will be there taking pictures and signing autographs.
That's great.
He'll be there from 11 to 4 at Legends North. We'll be talking about this each and every week leading up to it. And Keith Gabe will be there signing his The Russian Five book.
Oh, great. That's I love Mickey Stanley.
Mickey Stanley, mm-hmm. Tiger legend. Mm-hmm. So if the 68 Tigers, one of the boldest moves in baseball history, Mayo Smith moving Mickey Stanley from center field to shortstop to get Al Kaline back in the lineup.
Right. Yeah. That was an amazing, and obviously it all worked out, man.
Yep, no doubt about it. Those 68 Tigers, not a ton of them left. We're losing a few each and every year. So if you've got an affinity for that team or your dad had an affinity for that team, then put that in your schedule. There is no cost. Just come in. You can have your picture taken with Mickey. If you got an old baseball card or an old Tigers program, Mickey will be there to sign it, and Keith will be there. If you haven't picked up a copy of The Russian Five, Keith will have those books, and he'd gladly make them out to you as well.
Yeah, that's good. It's going to be a great time.
That's right. All right, we'll see you next Friday here on Friday Face-Off.